Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today's show is our annual Commander's Task Force Christmas show, where we'll talk with many of our veteran service organizations about what they're doing during the holiday season. But first, we need to take a moment to remember three brave soldiers from the Minnesota Army National Guard who lost their lives in a Black Hawk helicopter crash on December 5th. They are Chief Warrant Officer 2 James A. Rogers, Jr., Chief Warrant Officer 2 Charles P. Nord, Warrant Officer Candidate Court M. Plantenberg. We send our prayers to the families and friends of these soldiers, and we are eternally grateful for their willingness to serve our state and our country. They will be missed, but not forgotten. Joining me in the studio today for this show is a special guest host, former State Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Doug, welcome back to the show, and we've got you over there in a hot seat today, so you can learn how to host this program.
Yeah, you sure do, and it's good to be here with you, Tom, and it's good to be in the hot seat, as you call it.
Hot seat. Doug, you just retired just a few weeks back, a month or so, I guess. We lost three of your soldiers last week. And a terrible, tragic accident.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, it's a sad day for the organization, not just the Minnesota National Guard, but our military in general. It's always a sad day, somber day when you lose one of your own, and in this case, three of our own. And but this is a reminder that, you know, our service members are working at it every single day. And whether we're on the home front or overseas on some contingency operation, you know, we put our lives, they put their lives at risk performing missions home and abroad.
The nature of the position being a service member means you're going to eventually be in harm's way. And we ask our service members to do some dangerous jobs. And despite the fact that it's training, and multiple levels of safety, occasionally some bad things happen.
Yeah, they sure do. And again, this is just a reminder of that. And we train so that, you know, we hope that we can avoid these types of situations in a real world mission. But this was still a real world mission, taking that flight, that maintenance flight. And it's just a good reminder.
And for our listeners, if you want to help support the families, please go to the Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page, and you'll find a post on there that'll send you to the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Memorial Fund, which will be is collecting up for on behalf of those families. Now, Mr. Guest Host, we have another special guest in the studio. Would you like to introduce him?
Yeah, we sure do. And it's great to have Todd Kearney in here from the Paralyzed Veterans of America. And Todd, great to see you and welcome into the studio today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Doug. And thank you, Tom.
Well, it's always good to have a Marine in the studio. And we wanted to talk to you today about the Minnesota chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America. And we thought maybe Ken would be with you. Is he on the sick list?
Actually, Ken wanted to be here, but he broke up the good team of Todd and Ken. He's under the weather, and he's having a hard time keeping his voice.
So the Marine's going to have to carry the load today. The
Marines, as always, are the ones on duty.
Very good, sir. Can you tell us a little bit about Paralyzed Veterans of America, the Minnesota chapter, and what's going on around the holidays?
Sure, absolutely. So Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America, we're a nonprofit veterans organization. We're congressionally chartered, and our main office is over at the Spinal Cord Injury Center there at the VA Hospital in Minneapolis. We have a legislative office, which is over at the Veterans Building in St. Paul, but we do our major operations there at the VA Hospital. And right now, as you mentioned, the holidays, we're right in the middle of, in fact, I left our holiday dinner that we host yearly over at the Spinal Cord Injury Center. We had over 150 people expecting to attend today. So we provide the dinner for not only the inpatients, but we have our chapter members come in, and we also provide food for the staff of the Spinal Cord Injury Center, which we have a very close relationship. We can't can't say enough about our caregivers over there at the Spinal Cord Injury Center.
We're speaking with Todd Kemmery from the Minnesota chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America on Minnesota Military Radio. And my guest host in the studio today is Doug Wortham. Doug, you probably don't have a lot of experience with Paralyzed Veterans of America, but these guys are active. They're out shooting weapons. They're shooting skeet. They're doing all kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of great things going on, and I'm really looking forward to hearing more about the different events and things that you have to keep and get our paralyzed veterans involved with things going on in the community.
So that's absolutely correct, Doug. So we'll from time when the weather gets a little bit warmer, unless you like to do some ice fishing, we'll see about including you and inviting you along on some of our skeet and trap shooting and some of those activities that we're heavily involved with.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. And, you know, one of the things that I've been interested to hear about is, you know, obviously it's a traumatic event to have a person paralyzed. And we know that sometimes people, you know, kind of want to just give up and sit and sulk. So what do you do to help our veterans, our paralyzed veterans, to want to get involved and show that, hey, look, there is life after whatever that traumatic event was?
Absolutely, Doug. So we're fortunate enough to have that kind of a relationship with the Spinal Cord Injury Center. That's where our office is at. So we're right in the middle of that rehab that's going on over there. And so myself and several other of our leadership over there, board members, are peer mentors. And it's one of those things that is very traumatic. It's life-altering, and it is something that you never forget. And so I take that experience, if you will, and that remembrance of what it was like in those first months to my first year on the uncertainty of all that, and apply that to being able to be a effective peer mentor, hopefully.
Yeah. So, you know, we just have a couple of minutes left, but, you know, what is that message that you would have to our listening audience that might be one of our paralyzed veterans or know of one? What is that message you give to them to give them that hope and encouragement?
So it may sound a little cliche, but it's absolutely true that you can't give up. Now, you are allowed to have your dark days, but the quicker you're able to move out of that, and there's also support as far as mental health issues on that exact subject, but primarily as a person that's not a licensed counselor, I just use my world experience to be able to shine a little bit of light on what's down the road. Once you start thinking beyond your bedroom walls and the couch, there's a whole life going on out there. And the other big advice that I have is you need patience, not only with yourself, but with your surroundings and family and friends.
Yeah, well, I think that you're more than qualified to be able to have those conversations and give that glimmer of hope and encouragement to those who are who've been paralyzed or struggling with some type of a disability. But so we're gonna take a quick break, and I know that we're gonna have you come back here in another segment or two, and we're gonna talk about the Commander's Task Force.
Yes.
And so I just want to thank you for hanging out with us in here, and we're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we're gonna be talking with Commander Terry Anderson from the Military Order of the Purple Heart. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your co-host, Doug Wortham, along with the host of the show, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to be talking with somebody from the Military Order of the Purple Heart. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
As our days become shorter and colder, we know that the winter holiday season is upon us. Between work and travel, shopping, and all of the preparations for celebrations with our families, it's easy to become overwhelmed by the stresses of life. This year, please take the time to pause and reflect on all the wonders of your life and the beauty the world has to share with us. It could be the smile on a child's face as they open a present, or for those we have deployed overseas, as simple as a warm meal and a call home. Take the time this holiday season to stop and appreciate those moments, and share that joy with those around you. Whether you celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Diwali, or one of the many other holidays observed by our diverse people, know that you and your family have our warmest wishes. Thank you for everything you do, and happy holidays.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'd like to welcome into this studio Commander Terry Anderson from the Military Order of the Purple Heart. Commander, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Commander, you and I need to talk for a minute. You're a Vietnam veteran, was served in the Army.
Yeah.
I think you were over there a couple of years before me. I was in the Air Force up at Cameron Bay.
Yeah.
I left in May 1972, but you were already home by then.
Yeah. Well, I got to go up to Cameron Bay for a few weeks after I got wounded one time.
So. R&R.
Oh, that's a beautiful beach.
They didn't let you on the Air Force base, though.
No, we were down by the beach all the time.
Yeah, the air side was too nice for the Army.
Yeah, well, you know.
So what did you do in the Army over there?
I was with the 199th Light Infantry. We were the guys that they made the song about running through the jungle. We were the guys that did that. We went out, we hunted Charlie, and we stayed out in the field. We were extremely light infantry. The heaviest thing we had was a LAW, and we had very few of those. Machine gun, That was it. And I think our first time out in my unit was 129 days, something like that, before we came back in.
And sometime when you were over there, you earned a medal that I'm glad I didn't, is the Purple Heart.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny that I laugh about it because I got wounded a couple other times. John Wayne, you know, honest to God, John Wayne, you know, it's only a flesh wound. It really was. I didn't even know I had it. And the medic says, let's fix it up. And I said, nah, I'm okay. My dad had sent me one of those deals of Watkins salve for horses. You know, that's...
Here we go. John Wayne, horses and horse salve. This is an Army
story. I put that
Sergeant
stuff
Major,
on
this
it.
This is one of your guys here.
It worked well. So, yeah, it's...
So you earned the Purple Heart. When did you join the Military Order of the Purple Heart?
February 1967.
So you've been a member for a long time.
Yeah, I was in there for a few years.
But. Can you tell us a little bit about the Veterans Service Organization?
Yeah. Military Order of the Purple Heart is the only chartered, congressional chartered service, military service. We were started by George Washington, and at that time it was a little piece of cloth that was with a mark or two on it, and it was a purple cloth, and that was about it. It had a little, I can't remember what they had on it at the start, but that's how it started.
General Washington probably used that same horse salve to take care of his soldiers back then.
Well, yeah, that's where I got the recipe from, man.
Sergeant Major, I'm having trouble with this guy. You better talk to him for a while.
Well, we should just tell everybody once again that we're speaking with Commander Terry Anderson from the Military Order of the Purple Heart. And, you know, Tom, you said that it's an award that, you know, you're glad that you haven't earned. And I can say the same thing. But how many people are in or members of the Order of the Purple Heart?
National, I think it's about 45,000 plus. That's all. In the state, I think we're like 2,300, something like that. You got to understand something. Military Order of Purple Hearts are less than 1%. I think it's like 0.673 of 1% of all military people, all of them.
Thank God. We don't want it to be any higher either.
That's right.
No,
yeah,
we don't. And the one thing we're sitting there looking at it, as the wars get more proficient, better weapons, there's less physical contact, the numbers are going down to some degree. And thank God for that. That's a positive. The only bad thing is that our units are shrinking along with that. So we're getting smaller. Unless we have something that's really serious.
And maybe you
which
can
go, I hope, God forbid.
Maybe you can go the way of the prisoner of war had the Veterans Service Organization, and we didn't have any more, and they just kind of shut down.
Yep.
That'd be great. But the good news is, these days, if our soldiers are wounded, more of them are surviving.
Yeah.
And surviving some serious things. And,
absolutely.
Because medical science is so good.
So what they can do is fantastic. So
can you tell us, there's two things that I want to make sure we talk about. Number one, I think the last time we had one of your associates on, they told us—
Ryan?
Yeah. Pretty sure he told us that your membership is free.
Yes, it is. We have done that simply to bring in people to get our numbers up as much as we can, because we know we're not tapping all of the soldiers out there, the people that have been wounded. We know that. It's hard to get some of them. NAM vets, as a rule, they backed away from everything. When we came home, you know, they called us all those names.
Stuff.
Yeah. Stuff. And the guys would just pull away and drop out of society. And we've still got guys that they still haven't come home. And that's the sad part. We try to reach them. We try to talk to them. We do the best we can, but...
That you're pulling together and you have activities and you do events and you do some fundraising and you do some fun things.
Yep. And we also, our biggest thing that we is, it's the one-on-one. That's what we... It may not sound big, but, you know, you get them one at a time, because it's like pulling teeth sometimes. They don't want to talk. They do. They start to tear up, or they just, you know, it's kind of rough sometimes.
Commander, you've got a program that we heard about from Ryan, the Purple Heart Trail Marker.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that? We've got a couple minutes left.
Well, that's basically, it's in, 49 states, I believe, something like that. It's not completed, but it's a trail at highways. This highway, as you can see signs, you're going down the road. This highway is Purple Heart. And we're trying to get it so that it's totally complete, you know, and it recognizes the fallen or the wounded. And the goal is simply to bring awareness. I talked to a gentleman the other day that was wounded and didn't even know that the Purple Heart organization existed. And I feel like we've really dropped the ball.
We better get the message out, Commander.
Yes, we really have dropped the ball if we don't have all of our men and women. By the way, we got a lot of women with Purple Hearts now, too, and they are some warriors.
And they're welcome in your organization.
Oh, yeah. Open arms. Whatever we can do to get them in, whatever we can do to help them.
Commander, we got about a minute left. What's your veteran service organization? Are they out there celebrating the holidays and talking to folks?
Well, we've been doing Purple Heart Viola, going out and doing that. Mostly right now at Christmas time, I'll be honest with you, everybody's kind of scattered. We're hoping to do better next year. We've had some reversals in the way things have been running. And the whole unit nationally is struggling right now. And I won't get into it, but we're coming back, but it's just taking us in a different direction right now.
So. Well, Commander, you know, we've got Todd Kemmery in here from Paralyzed Veterans, and they're having their holiday party today. They had a big lunch and stuff.
I know.
You better have one of those next year.
Yeah, would love to have one. I was asking him, how do you raise all this money? You know, our funding is dead.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate you coming in. And when you put together that fundraiser that you're going to do, make sure that you let us know so we can get you back in here and help you to publicize it a little bit. But we really thank you for your time coming in today and sharing the message. And wish you happy holidays. And again, this is Minnesota Military Radio. And we come back in just a minute. We'll be talking with the American Legion.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your co-host, Doug Wortham, along with the host of Minnesota Military Radio, Tom Lyons. We're going to be talking to the American Legion, but before we do that, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Thank you to the veteran service organizations who are with us today for the Commander's Task Force Holiday Show. I thank you on behalf of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the veterans of Minnesota for your continued support. They are the voice of 308,000 veterans in this great state, and without their support, we'd not be able to meet the needs of Minnesota veterans. As 2019 comes to a close, I'd like to thank our listeners who have tuned in to Minnesota Military Radio. It's been a very successful year. I look forward to 2020 and hope you will continue to join us at News Talk AM 1130 on Sunday mornings or one of our networks throughout the state.
Thank you, Commissioner Larry Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Well, joining us in the studio right now is the 103rd Department Commander of the Minnesota American Legion, Commander Mark Dvorak. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Doc. Good to be here again.
Yeah, it's great to see you and great to have you in the studio. And
thank you.
And I see that you brought somebody along with you today, and I'd like to know if you could just make that introduction for us.
Yeah, I sure will, and that's Mike Moxa. He hails from the Montgomery Post, and he will be taking over as state adjutant for the American Legion on 1 January.
Awesome.
So it's...
Mike, welcome. Welcome to the studio, and thanks for traveling with the commander.
Thanks, Doug. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have you in here. And so, you know, like we always want to try to do is introduce you to our listening audience. And if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you're at today.
Sure. Thank you. I'm a retired Air Force Master Sergeant, spent 20 years active duty, joined the American Legion 19 years ago. Started off as a vice commander, the typical story. You go to your second meeting and they make you an officer. And looking back, it hasn't stopped since. And I've just moved through the chairs and asked to take over as adjutant the 1st of January. So,
now, Mike, I got to ask you about this. You got some big shoes to fill. Randy Teslaw's been there a long time, done a great job.
Yes,
are you up for the task?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, we have to be. It's too late. I said yes.
I won't let him quit.
So you
trust
actually had me. A choice in this assignment.
Yes, this is, one of the few assignments I've had a choice in. And I decided to take this on. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm excited. I really believe in the American Legion and all the great things we do for our veterans, our community, our children and youth. We just do so many great things that I just want to help that and push that forward. And hopefully we can get out there in the public eye and educate the public and our younger veterans on all the great things we do.
And Commander, you're in the middle of your year as commander, and the start 1st of January, you've got some turnover over at state because Randy retired and Al Zidane retired, and I understand your CFO's retiring.
Yeah, that's correct. The first month or so when I took over as commander, it was pretty busy just with trying to figure out what we were going to do with the employee situation. So, but it's all turned out well, and our finance person, we have a part-time person that started, I think about 2 weeks ago, and that's going to work out too, where she's got the credentials and she's younger. She's a Gold Star wife. She lost her husband, and she's military herself. She's prior military, so she's a veteran, and that's going to work out real well for us.
So you've got some new younger blood in there to revitalize everything, just like Doug Wortham's coming in here, and he's going to be a part-time guest host for us and breathe some new life into the show.
Yeah, and I think that's true. And then our new communication director, he was with the 82nd Airborne, so he jumped out of airplanes for some reason. We're still trying to figure that out.
Those Air Force guys, why would anybody jump out of a perfectly good airplane?
Exactly.
No. Army guys kind of do that. They think it's fun, but I don't understand it.
Look, and I'm trying to figure that out, too. I mean, I'm an Army guy, but I really never had that desire to jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's crazy. So you've got some projects and things that you're wanting to work on as the commander. We've touched on some of those things before, but mm-hmm. Could you remind us a little bit about the project you're working on, who you're teaming up with, and really what the progress is?
Yeah, before I cover my project, I just want to reach out to Tom Getzener out of KCHK and New Prague and just thank him for all the stuff he's doing for all our Legion posts in the area, all our veterans, all our special days of like Veterans Day and Memorial Day. And he's really doing great work for all the veterans. So thank you, Tom.
And he's been a member of the Minnesota Military Radio Network for years and a great supporter. And, of course, former Adjutant General Rick Nash and he are pretty good buddies, too. So there's a lot of ties to Tom.
Yep, that's for sure. So we appreciate Tom and the radio station in New Prague. And that's where I listen to the military radio. Each Saturday morning at 6 in the morning, I'm there with my cup of coffee listening to Tom and whoever's on the show. So I appreciate you guys, too. But anyways, yeah, my main project is the Wounded Warriors Guide Service. It's a Minnesota 501(c), and they're helping out disabled veterans and veterans in need through recreational therapy. And is what they do. They try to get the veteran out of his environment for an afternoon or up to 5 days, camping, fishing, hunting. And there's no cost to the veteran. The veteran just signs up. They have a web page where the veteran can apply to do this. They take them out. And they perform some miracles with some of the Vietnam veterans, Iraqi, Afghanistan. And in June alone, they helped up to 100 veterans. So go fishing, hunting.
Wounded Warriors Guide Service.
That's correct.
And how can our listeners help with that Commander's Project? You're raising funds?
We're raising funds, and I've been bringing it up to all the events that I go to, and the money is flowing in. So, a check can be made out to the Minnesota American Legion Foundation, Fund 82, and be sent to the Department of Minnesota, or it could be sent or given to me or sent to me.
Very good, sir. And you're also still supporting Legionville. Every year there's something going on up in Legionville.
Yeah, we're supporting Legionville with my project, and those funds are flowing in also. Legionville, we have to keep going. We're the only one in the United States that have a camp like that.
And
so
can you tell us what goes on up there? That's for the safety training, right?
Yeah, that's safety for kids. So we have several sessions up there throughout the summer where kids come up from all over the state, and the Highway Patrol is involved with it. So they teach them bus safety also, how to respond during an accident or if the bus driver has a medical emergency, how to stop the bus, how to take control of the bus, how to exit the bus if it is involved in an accident. So, yeah, a lot of good things go on up there.
Great training for those young people. And, of course, Legionville's been around for a long time. The last few years, they replaced the barn. You had to fight a bog and get that off of your front porch.
Yeah, that's true. And the education center up there that replaced the barn is wonderful. Most of that was done through volunteer service and construction companies volunteering their time. And so, yeah, it's a nice
Commander,
asset.
Commander, what's the American Legion up to for the holidays all across Minnesota?
Well, there's Christmas stuff going on all over the state. We in the Bloomington-Richfield area, the American Legion Auxiliary, they're collecting toys, and they're having a big get-together to give toys out. And also they're providing an all-day babysitting service for veterans, where the veterans can drop their kids off and they can go Christmas shopping. And we have a post down south that a few Legionnaires met with a young lady and the 10-year-old daughter, and the husband's currently deployed, but they delivered a complete meal to this family, and they had a present for the 10-year-old, which they gave it to her, and they added a little bit of money so that they could have an extra special Christmas while the husband is deployed. And I guess it was just tears of joy that was shared by all when they met with that family, and they're going to look out for that family while the husband is deployed.
And Commander, I know that some of your posts around Thanksgiving and Christmas take whole meals out to some of the boxes of food out to the family so they can have a nice holiday meal. Are you still doing that some places around the state?
Yes, they are. And there's another post that just had a big cookie drive to get homemade cookies at a central location. And they're taking them out to all the senior living places, not just veterans' homes, but senior living places, and giving those cookies out. And they've been doing that for years.
Keep up the good work, Commander.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that.
Thank you. And of course, Mike, you didn't hardly get a word in edgewise here, but we appreciate you coming in. And I'm sure that we'll be speaking with you more in the future and get more updates as you get into the seat and get things rolling.
Well, thank you, Doug. And I want to wish you Merry Christmas, and also you, Tom. Merry Christmas, sir. And Happy New Year's to both from the Department of American Legion.
Thanks so much. When we come back, we're going to be getting an update from the VA and talk to the commander of the Commander's Task Force. We'll be back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your co-host, Doug Wortham, along with the host of Minnesota Military Radio, Tom Lyons. The Commander's Task Force is made up of organizations like the American Legion, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, Disabled American Veterans, the Marine Corps League, Vietnam Veterans of America, Military Order of the Purple Heart, AMVETS, the Jewish War Veterans, and Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America. That's the Commander's Task Force. And we were speaking with Todd Kemry earlier, a member of the Paralyzed Veterans of America, and he's also the chair of the Commander's Task Force. So, Todd, welcome back into the studio to talk to us a little bit about the Commander's Task Force.
Thank you, Doug. Absolutely. So you mentioned the veterans organizations that are part of the 9 veterans organizations, and our common theme is that we are congressionally chartered. There are other veterans organizations out there throughout the state of Minnesota, but there's 9 of us that have that congressional charter part of that, and working with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs as we do is what's unique about our Commander's Task Force group.
How in the world did that group of commanders elect a Marine as chair for the year?
You know, I got to tell you, Tom, everybody had left the room when the votes were in, so I had a chance to go through and kind of do some creative managing.
You cooked the books. No, you didn't do that. I think they elected you because you've been a legislative director for PVA for many years.
Yes, that's correct. You know, I've been doing legislative for at least 15 years on the national and also now for the past 5 years at the state level. So,
and part of the mission of the Commander's Task Force is to work on legislative issues here in Minnesota.
Absolutely. That's our primary job.
Can you tell us how that works?
Sure. So we convene every August, late August, September, up at Camp Ripley, and we go through the election process and meeting of the new commanders that are going to be part of the group in the year coming up. And we start talking about legislative issues that are important for each one of the separate veterans organizations, and then we work on those initiatives or those ideas, and we come up with 10, 12 different initiatives that will speak in the new coming legislative sessions to our representatives then.
So you get together and you go over all the ideas and try to focus on the ones that you want to push this year, and you push those out to the collective membership of all of those veteran service organizations, and you go up to the Capitol and say, okay, elected officials, here's the things we'd like to talk about this year. And that all culminates in an event next spring called Veterans on the Hill.
Veterans on the Hill. So I'll back up just a little bit, Tom, and we've got we're pushing a little bit of a modified direction this year. We have already started our strategic meetings on what initiatives. It's hard because it's a process. You have 50 or 60 different ideas out there, and we can't handle that many all in one legislative session. So we've developed these legislative strategy meetings, so that we can boil that down. We want to be able to include our VCOs, our Veterans County Service Officers, and some of their initiatives, and also the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And so we, in fact, on the 19th, we're going to have one of our close to ending of our strategy legislative meetings to get everything together. And so that's the process moving forward.
Yeah, so we're speaking with Todd Kemry, the chair of the Commander's Task Force, and you mentioned that you get together and you got maybe 50 or so ideas that you want to bring forward, and you know there's not enough time. You want to consolidate efforts and get after the priority. So you get together as a task force, and at the end of the day, are you the decision maker? Here are the 10 that we're going to actually attack this year. How do you get to that number?
So collectively, there are 9 votes on that, and so I just sort of ride herd over that, and I'm sort of the face of the organization.
Marine is the face of the organization. Oh my goodness! So go ahead, Todd.
So absolutely, Marines are due, and we're I'm fulfilling that. But I digress. So we get together and we're able to make sure that we cover the most effective that we can get done during that legislative process that is going to happen in 2020.
Yeah, I think that, or I'm assuming, right, that you get together with the veteran organizations and your goal, your focus is to take care of our service member and our veterans. So if you have that as your overlining priority, you're going to get after the things that are going to have the biggest impact.
Sure, absolutely. So, and all that takes time. And one of the other new directions that we'd like to do is this isn't just a Vets on the Hill day. If we waited till that to be able to send our message out there, we're way behind the eight ball on that. So we're committed to spending more time visiting our legislators up on St. Paul or at St. Paul up on the hill there and make sure that we have some face-to-face. And that's when it's most effective, when you're sitting in their office.
And yeah. It culminates with all those veterans coming down to the Capitol that
would
day.
Be the icing on the cake or the pinnacle. And that will be the big show for everybody in the state of Minnesota to understand what's going on.
Any holiday wishes you want to send out there in Radio Land?
I appreciate that, Tom. I want to first wish both Doug and you, and appreciate it, but also to all our veterans out there that are in the state of Minnesota, and also we extend those holiday wishes to our active duty members, whether they're here for the holidays or if they're stationed overseas.
Very good, sir. And Doug, good work today. You're getting a little better hang of it. So when I'm gone a little bit in January, February, March, you're ready, right?
Yeah, I'll absolutely be ready. And you know what? It's different when you're in the hot seat, but we're gonna get after it and things are going to be successful. And we won't let you down, Tom. And once again, I just want to say, Todd, hey, thanks so much for coming. It's great to visit with you and look forward to spending more time with you throughout the year.
Absolutely. Congratulations on your new direction here, especially on your retirement and then also being part of this MMR, Minnesota Military Radio.
All right. Thank you so much.
Joining me now from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System is their new public affairs officer, Brad Dobrzynski. Brad, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be on.
Brad, we've been having the director on the show for years now and getting regular updates on all the wonderful things that happen out in at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and in the healthcare system. And Ralph retired after many, many years in the position, and you're the new man. And I understand you served in the United States Army for quite a while.
Yeah, I sure did. I actually joined right out of high school. I enlisted. I was in for 4 years. I got out, went to college. After that, I was commissioned. Was an armor officer for a few years and then became a public affairs officer and did that for my last 13 years while I was in the Army.
And you got to travel around a little bit. I see you were in Korea, been down in Florida, and then tough duty over in Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah, I always tell people I had two back-to-back really difficult assignments from Tampa to Hawaii, but very good assignments working with Special Operations Command kind of led me into my next job working at in Washington, D.C. area.
Yeah, and your resume, your bio here says that you had several stints as public affairs officers throughout the Army.
Yeah, I think some of my highlights would be probably, I was a public affairs officer for a two-star admiral over in Hawaii. And then I think one of the biggest joys I have had was being the public affairs officer for the vice chief of staff, four-star general for a year. At the Pentagon was a great experience and really great honor to serve, you know, second in command of the Army.
And it looks like you're coming back home. I see on here that you were a St. John's graduate. Johnny!
That is correct. Yeah, I was born and raised in Delano, Minnesota, and after a brief stint as an enlisted soldier, I came back and went to St. John's and got commissioned out of there.
Pretty lucky you got to come back here and get that position with the Minneapolis VA.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the last year since I retired last October, been looking for work and just really didn't find anything. This position opened up and I put my name in the hat and got the opportunity to interview, and it really is a good fit. You know, coming back to serve veterans is just wonderful, because being a veteran myself, it's great to serve in this capacity and serving in this great hospital here in Minneapolis is even more wonderful.
Brad, you got a great team out there. We've enjoyed having doctors and researchers and nurses and Director Kelly, everybody on the show over the years. We look forward to working with you to tell some great stories of all the wonderful work that's going on out at the Minneapolis VA.
That's the plan. We want to keep it going and just continue to tell people what a great hospital this is and what great health care you'll get from this hospital.
Brad, we've got just less than a minute left here. I understand there's a town hall coming up.
Sure is. On Monday from 5 to 7, the Minneapolis VA is going to host a veterans town hall. We are going to have from 5 to 6 the Minneapolis VA healthcare system leadership. They're going to have a discussion, and then afterwards from 6 to 7, the Veterans Benefit Administration leadership is going to be here. There's going to be the availability for people to sign up, find out about their enrollment eligibility, and get VA ID cards as well. So it's going to be a pretty good event for veterans.
And that town hall is open to all of your patients out there and any veterans who want to come.
That is absolutely correct.
Well, Brad, I want to thank you for calling in today. We look forward to working with you in the future so we can tell the stories for the VA, and welcome to the team.
Thank you very much. It's great to be on the team.
Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
That was Brad Dobuzinski, the new public affairs officer at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. We're just about out of time. If you're a Minnesota veteran and would like to share your story, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Todd Kemmery, Terry Anderson, Mike Maxa, Mark Dvorak, Brad Dobuzinski, my guest host, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week for our annual Chaplain's Christmas Show with special guest host Jason Burley. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.